One of the very nice things about telling stories on Motzei Shabbos about tzaddikim is, of course, you get to learn the stories. You learn a mahalach and avodas Hashem. You learn what to hopefully to aspire to. Not that we can mimic or to try to replicate the maasim. Some we can, many we can't. We get to learn about different tzaddikim who we never heard of before. Tzaddiki oylam mamish, people who the world was literally on their shoulders. They carried the world, they carried Klal Yisrael. One of those tzaddikim, which many of you haven't heard of, is the second, if you want to call, the Vizhnitzer Rebbe, Kosov Rebbe, Taras Chaim from Kosov. His yahrzeit was yesterday. He was the son of the Avos Shalom. And the whole line of Vizhnitz, as we mentioned, comes from these tzaddikim. So his father, the Avos Shalom, Kishmoy Kenhu, was very much the Ahava. As the Taras Chaim, they say he was more of a sharper Rebbe. Of course, filled with Avos Yisrael, like his father was. A very big masmid. Tremendous masmid. We'll see a story about that a little bit later. The Apterov, who was the tzaddik of the generation, said about him that he was a melech ben melech. Tzaddik ben tzaddik. In fact, the son of the Chayza, Reb Tzvi, said about the Taras Chaim that he had such a tzura, he had such a hadras panim, that he said this is probably what the Avos HaKadoshim looked like. That was the face of the Taras Chaim. One of his inyonim was that he was mekabel Shabbos very early. He was so on fire for Shabbos Kodesh. His father was Avos Shalom. His father, Avos Shalom, he was kol kula Shabbos Kodesh. Almost every single Torah in the Sefer Avos Shalom is about Shabbos. Shabbos, Shabbos, Shabbos. By the Kosovo, everything was Shabbos. So he had an inyon, the Taras Chaim, he was mekabel Shabbos early. Many times on his way home from Shul, he would see people who were on their way to Shul. That's how quickly he would. He was mekabel Shabbos as early as possible. When he was a young child, he was once sleeping in his father's bed. And he said how he remembers this, that he looked to the side off the bed, and there was somebody sitting in his father's chair. And he started to think to himself, as a young child, he said, what a chutzpah, somebody sitting in the Rebbe's chair. What a chutzpah. All of a sudden his father says, he says, Elio, would you mind giving a bracha to my son? A bracha to my son. So he said, he got very startled. He says, quickly, he took a yarmulke, he put it on his head. And the Eliyahu Navi came and he put his hands on my head, he said. He put his hands on my head. But before he did that, I got a good look at his face. So if I ever see him again, I'll know who he is. He said. So remember, as a child, he was able to get a good look at Eliyahu Navi's face. I'm sure he saw him many times after that. But he got a bracha as a young lad from the chutzpah yak sitting in his father's chair. Avos Shalom had a chassid who owned a kretschma, one of these inns, like every good story has a kretschma. And the parrots, every good story has a parrots too. So he made the life of this chassid very difficult. And many times when he didn't have the money to pay the parrots, he would have to go to Kosov, to go to the Avos Shalom, and he would give him whatever money he needed. One occasion, so he was short on funds, and he went to Kosov, to the Avos Shalom, and he showed up, and he said, where's the Rebbe? He said, oh, the Rebbe passed away. There's a new Rebbe now. So he said, okay, hopefully the new Rebbe is just as kind to me as the previous Rebbe. So he went in to the Taras Chaim, who was the new Rebbe, and he said, listen, when your father was here, so he used to give me the money to pay the parrots. I don't have the money. Can you please help me out? He says, no, sorry, I can't help you. Said, why not? He says, because my father, he had a certain bracha that whenever he needed money for people, he would open up the drawer, and whatever money he needed would be in the drawer. So I don't have such a bracha. I'm not the madrig of my father. So I can't help you. So the chas was heartbroken. He was about to leave. So Taras Chaim says, it's true, I can't help you, but the kosak can help you. The kosak has what to give you. The Kossack was one of the policemen. Is the Rishayim. So the Kossack is going to help you. So he didn't know what that meant. He goes home. He tells his wife, his mom is heartbroken. He doesn't know what to do. It's the middle of the night. He hears pounding on the door. Pounding, pounding, pounding. He's very afraid to open it. Anyways, he goes. He opens the door. And there's the Kossack. He says, there's a big war which is about to happen. They need me to go. I have all this money. I don't know who to leave it with because I don't trust anybody in my own community. I know the Jews are trustworthy people. So I'm going to, you give it. You hold on to it. I'm going to come back from the war. When I'm back, you're going to give it to me. So he turns to his wife and he says, you think this is the Cossack that the Rebbe was talking about? She says, of course this is the Cossack the Rebbe was talking about. He said, but you can't use the money because he said he's coming back. He says, I don't know what to do. We have to go ask the Rebbe. So he goes to the Taras Chaim. He tells him what happened. And he says to him the following things. He says, I know. Says, Shoin nish da kain Cossack and nish kain Melchama. There's no Cossack and there's no Melchama.
It's for you.
There was never a war and there was never a Cossack. It's all yours. Another Maisa like that. It's probably Yeshua's for Klal Yisrael. There was a chassid, a famous chassid apparently. His name is Rabbi Shulam. He said that he was next door neighbors to a guy. He had some type of a factory, and whatever schmutz would run into the yard of this guy, so they would take it and they would put it into the yid's yard next door. It caused him a lot of tzaris that he was always filling his yard with schmutz. So one day he came outside. And he saw one of the guyim was putting the schmutz into his yard. So he came over to him and he smacked him in the face. He says, don't you dare put your stuff in my field. He smacked him and then the guy plots dead on the floor. So he said, so of course there's going to be a big court case. There's going to be a big accusation against him. V'kachava, they took him into custody. And he didn't mean to kill him. He just gave him a good whack because he was trespassing. So the Rebbetzin of this Yid B'Mishulam, she went very quickly to the Taras Chaim. And she was crying and she said, Rebbe, what could we do to help my husband? So the Rebbe said, your husband, Rebbe Shulam, kill somebody? Nah. He says, he's such a frail person. He says, hands like that can never kill a person. She doesn't know what to make of that because he just killed him. So she went back home. And it was the court case. And there was three Dayanim, three Rishayim who were being done him. And he sits down, and they go over the case. And so the lead dayan, he looks at Rabbi Shulam, and he goes, you? He says, you killed this guy? He says, you're such a frail person. It can't be. He says, such a person like that couldn't kill anybody. So he turns to the two other judges over there, and he says, what do you think about this? He says, yeah, a guy like this can never kill anybody. It's not possible he can kill anybody. Not possible, such a thing. So they were asking him to let the case go. And it says that later that night, another pounding on the door, and the person is there with a hoodie, and he takes off the hoodie, and he says, oh, it's the Dayan. He says, what brings you here? He says, you were very lucky to live, that we didn't sentence you to death. I'm telling you now, the family of the guy who you killed are planning to kill you in the morning. You better get out of here, and you better run for your life. So it's twice he saved him. But of course he didn't save him. It was the Rebbe, probably Shua's friend, but... There was another Yid whose wife was in a difficult labor, and by tzaddikim there's an inyan that when a woman is having difficulty in delivery, so the husband goes to the mikveh, such a skula like that. So he went over to the Rebbe. He says, my wife's having a very tough time. So he says, come, let's go to the mikveh. So the Rebbe takes him to the mikveh. Whoever goes into the mikveh, he comes down, he says, Mazel tov, you just had a baby. So he thought that he should also go in. I'm not sure why, if the Rebbe said Mazel tov. Maybe he didn't believe the Rebbe, I don't know. So he's ready to go in, he sticks one foot in the mikveh, and it's frozen. His mom is freezing cold. He says he couldn't even, as soon as it was in, it was out. So he said to the Rebbe, he says, I don't understand, how could you go into such a cold mikveh? So the Rebbe looked at him very seriously, and he says, I have to translate it, obviously. He says, what type of a face would we have if we said a few words to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the mikveh wouldn't become hot? What kind of face would we have in front of the Eibishter if we didn't say a few words and the mikvah wouldn't become hot? Meaning that he either made a tefillah to Hashem that it should become hot, or he was mechavin Hashem Kaddish. By all the Tamidim of the Baal Shem, they were all able to make cold mikvahs hot. That's why you see stories about, you know, the tzaddikim, that they jump into freezing cold mikvahs. Many of them, they were just, you know, super humans because of their kedusha, the mamash. But the tzaddikim, they were able to make cold mikvahs hot. They mechavin Shemus and whatever they did, b'derech emunah, b'tefillah. What kind of a face would we have if we said words to Hashem and he wouldn't make hot mikvahs for us? That's what he said. What kind of a face would we have? There was an Avreich who came to Kosov to the Teres Chaim. This is told over by the Imre Chaim, who was the grandson of the Kosover. He said that he came and he was waiting for 2 weeks to come and to have an audience with the Teres Chaim. And nothing happened. He didn't work. And so he decided he was going to go home, but he says, I can't leave without seeing the face of the Rebbe. Maybe we'll get a meeting with him, but I have to see the face of the Rebbe. So he says that he did some type of an acrobatic move, and he positioned himself right outside the window of where the Rebbe was. But the window was closed. So all of a sudden, he's looking, deciphering in the window. So the opens up the window, the Rebbe's face is right there, right opposite his face. He says, what can I do for you? So he says, Rebbe, I need a bracha. He says, what bracha do you need? He says, give me a bracha that it should be zeiche to do tshuva me'ava. The tshuva me'ava. So it says that the Rebbe grabbed his beard. Whenever a tzaddik grabs his beard, it's a very serious thing. You know that. Stories, whenever the Rebbe grabs his beard, a very big deal. He says that the Teres Chaim grabbed his beard, and he says to him, he says, an avrich like you, he says, you come to me and you're asking me that you should be zeiche in your lifetime to do tshuva me'ava? He says, halavai, I'm waiting just for the one moment in my life that I should do tshuva me'ira. And you're asking me that you should live a life of tshuva me'ava. We learn a lot from stories like this about tzaddikim and how they live their lives. As you learn more chassidus, you'll understand these stories better, but it's a very, 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 very powerful story. The Beis Shloima, who was a very big poisek, Shalos and Tshuvos, so he used to go to the Teres Chaim as a chassid. And when the Teres Chaim passed away, so the Tzemach Tzaddik became the Rebbe after the Teres Chaim. But he didn't think so much that the Tzemach Tzaddik was such a big Rebbe like his father, so he stopped going. So he said, the Teres Chaim came to him in a dream, and he said to him, Tonu, why aren't you going to Vizhnitz to my son? You know, go to Vizhnitz to my son, he's not good enough for you. So he was very shaken by that, and then he made a journey to go to Vizhnitz. And as soon as he came to Vizhnitz, so the wife of the Teres Chaim was still alive. So when she saw the Beis Shlomo, she says, oh, so now you come. Why do you have to be my triach, my husband, to come to in a dream, to come to tell you to come here? To bother him that he should come tell you in a dream? Even the women, even the rabbis, they have such madrigas that they... She knew that her husband had to come in a dream. My triach, my husband... To come tell you the story from Yudah Lajikovar, very Makobotic stories. A couple more. The Yeshuas Moshe, the previous Vizhnitzer Rebbe, the great great grandson of the Teres Chaim, he told the following story. It says, there was a young person who lived in Kosov who got very sick. The doctors gave up. And of course, his mother and his wife were very, very concerned, and they were coming to the Teres Chaim that he should be poor Yeshua for this young kid. And they would cry and they would beg. And they came a lot. They came a lot.
They came a lot.
They came to the Rebbe a lot. Wow. And that he should be poor Yeshua. So the Rebbe said on one occasion, he says, okay. He says, bring me my special hat which I wear. Bring me my special jacket, which I wear, and bring me my lulka, which I smoke. Bring me the lulka. Says, as he put on the beged and he put on the hat, and he took the lulka, and he was sitting by the window, and he was smoking his lulka for half an hour, and he said that his face was mamash on fire, with a dvekis, mamash, out of this world. So, in the meantime, while the Rebbe is in his dvekis, so this yid, who was not well, he woke up out of this coma, And he said, can I have a little something to eat? So they said, of course. They ran very quickly to get him something. So he says, let me tell you what just happened. He says, over the time that I was, you know, in this coma, so I was in front of the Beis in Shalmala, and they were being done me whether I should live, whether I should die. All of a sudden, the Rebbe came in, and he says, please, please, yet this yid live. He says, every day the wife and the mother are coming in, and they're asking me, he says, I can't learn, I can't daven, they're always stopping me from everything I need to do. Could you please give me a shua so I can get back to business? What he said. So with that taina, he was able to end all the judgments against me. And he said, I'll prove it to you. Because when the Rebbe came in, he was wearing his special jacket and his special hat, and he was smoking the lolka. So they went and they told the Rebbe what had happened. He says, what are you talking about? This is Bubba Mises. He says, I was up there in the basement. I'm right here. I'm right here. And I didn't go anywhere. This is all fake news. This is nothing. Yeah, Torah Schaim. I'll tell one more story. So Reb Zusha from Nadvorna said the following thing. He says, I was once by the Kosovo Rav, and there was a Yid who came with a kvittel. And he gave the kvittel to the Rebbe. And the Rebbe read it, and he said to me, it says here in this kvittel that please Rebbe daven for me that I should be able to daven without any foreign thoughts, and should have a sincere daven. So the Rebbe turned to me and he says, no, Zusha, he says, what do you think about such a kvittel? So I think it's a great kvittel. You should answer it right away and make sure that he has no more machshav zaras than davening. Should have good davening. So he says, I think you're wrong. I think you're wrong. He says, you're making a mistake. Listen to this. So every Jew, when he wakes up in the morning, he washes netilas yadayim, and especially if he's waking up at chatzos, he's waking up in the middle of the night, so that he can prepare his body before davening. The tzaddikim were very careful that they go to the Beis HaKisei before davening. They should have nothing in their kishkas, in their inner. They should be completely clean when they daven. Hashem has X-ray vision. He doesn't want to see that. And of course, he says Berachas HaTaira, and he learns his Shir Kavua before davening. He says Tikkun Chatzais and other Kapitlach of Tehillim, and he learns Mishnayos and Gemara and Shulchan Aruch and all the Shi'urim which he has before he davens Shachris, and then he goes to the mikvah and then he's ready to daven. He says, but this person, he says, he wakes up in the morning and he speaks to his wife and he speaks to his kids and he speaks to the housekeeper, and then on his way to Shul he talks to this person and that person, and then he makes a business phone call. And he says, such a person comes to davening, he says, if he can't concentrate during davening, that's not called machshava zaros. Machshava zaros means a foreign thought comes into your mind. It's not a foreign thought if you're thinking about these things before you daven. So the Begid is coming with a kvittel and he wants that he shouldn't have machshava zaros during davening. It's a whole approach to davening. It's a whole, what does a person do before davening? That I can't help him with. But if he's davening after a whole hachana for davening, of kedusha and learning and making hachanas for davening, and he has machshav azar, that I could have helped him with. But this, that's not called machshav azar. Azar means a stranger, but these are not strange thoughts. He invited these thoughts. That's what he said. Big, big story.